The second feature is about two Norfolk women who have created a diary from people around the globe with their thoughts on the pandemic. The reader is Sam Elmhurst.
A plague journal begun on the first day of the first lockdown by Norfolk neighbours Margaret Stewart and Sheila Gates now attracts contributions from across the world. Every Sunday morning, the latest instalment is published online at plaguejournal.com. Inspired by the wartime mass observation project and the history of her house in South Burlingham near Acle, whose first owners died of the plague 400 years ago, it is a daily record of life with coronavirus, told by many different voices in many different places. As the pandemic gathered pace last year, Margaret said she lay awake thinking of what might happen, a fog of mostly dark thoughts. Aware that the original owners of her home had died of the plague, Margaret said, "We're more fortunate today with modern medicine and health services and communications." And then I thought it would be good to do something positive and creative with other people during this strange time, said the artist, playwright and retired teacher. She decided to ask people to record their observations and their thoughts, feelings and ideas, initially for 12 weeks, in the style of the Second World War project, in which participants kept diaries of their everyday life. Sheila's husband, Chris, wrote the first entry, and then they asked friends and acquaintances to have their say. And gradually, word spread, and medics, artists, academics, teachers, writers, parents, children, poets, pensioners, a vicar, a florist, a former diplomat, business people, shopkeepers, gardeners, and many more were adding to the online journal. We saw it as a 12-week daily journal that contributors would drop in and out of, a social record of unusual times, and we didn't look further than that. But it was clear, as it went on, that a lot of contributors didn't want to finish after 12 weeks, and it was clear the pandemic wasn't over. More needed to be recorded, and so on we went, and on. There have been many personal blogs and diaries this last year, but we know of no other project that connects contributors from all around the world, creating an online community and a group commentary. Sheila, a glass artist and retired graphic designer of Burlingham Green, created the website and said, "We decided that we couldn't just pull the plug as too many people were finding the comfort in reading and contributing to the journal. We still have people joining us as contributors, and the core group have formed a bond that I'm reluctant to disturb. More than 100 people have taken part, with around 45 fairly regular contributors and up to 30 entries each week. They report on their lives in the UK and France, Sweden, Germany, Norway, Spain, Tenerife, South Africa, Malaysia, New Zealand, Australia and across the USA. They are considering finishing with a garden party where contributors might be able to meet in real life for the first time. I have a feeling that will be a noisy and joyous occasion," said Sheila. "And eventually the whole journal will be archived online, and they would love to publish an edited book version too." The house that Margaret, with her husband Peter, live in has its own fascinating story.
Old Hall Farm in South Burlingham was boarded up, fire damaged and at risk of collapse more than 30 years ago. Margaret and Peter have been restoring and caring for it ever since. including finding and revealing Tudor paintings of hunting scenes on its attic walls, hidden beneath up to 9 layers of lime wash. We'd found bits of paint all around the house, and I and a friend were up in one of the top rooms, unblocking a fireplace, when I saw a piece of loose plaster and pulled it away and saw a claw, said Margaret. Soon a vibrant Labrador-like dog was looking out of the picture. Margaret and Peter called in experts and eventually discovered the entire attic gallery had been painted with monochrome hunting scenes, probably when the house was newly built in the 1580s. It was built for Robert and Elizabeth Younger at a time when Queen Elizabeth I was on the throne and Norfolk was one of the richest regions in the country. Their daughter married playwright Robert Dayborn in South Walsham Church and was living in London when she was due to give birth. Robert and Elizabeth went down to stay with her, but all three died within weeks of each other as the plague raged through the capital. For a time, the house was called Mermaid Manor because of the charming plaster mermaid and merman on the porch. Really, it's just a farmhouse with a grand porch, said Peter. A century ago, Norfolk County Council converted it into two homes as part of a scheme to provide small holdings for servicemen returning from the First World War. There's even a ghost story, with an attic said to be haunted by a murdered man found dead after playing a game of cards.
Well, thank you, Sam and Sarah.